On budget, this is the Subcommittee on Education and Natural Resources. This is Tuesday, May 10th, 2005, and I will have our illustrious LFO analyst take us through an overview of some of the process and the form of it, and then we'll head into an overview of natural resource agencies.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair and members of the Subcommittee, I have distributed for you today a packet of information, and you just have the agenda for today on top. And as the chair has mentioned, this will be kind of a general orientation for the subcommittee process and then a very high level discussion of the natural resources program area, because we realize that most of you are familiar with it, having served or still serving on the joint committee's natural resources subcommittee. So if you'll turn to the first page behind the agenda, this is just some general information for you. Although we're meeting at 3:30 today, the intent is that you'll be meeting from 8:30 to 10:30 in the mornings, Monday through Thursday, and that will start next week. And we think that the hearing room will probably be hearing room E, but we will confirm that with you as soon as we know, and we hope that will be sometime this week. Because we are planning on going into work sessions on the budgets, it's very important that you attend with five members. You need to have three for a quorum, and then to move anything out of the subcommittee, you need to have an affirmative vote of the majority of the appointed members. And I would just refer you to the page behind the one that we're looking at. That gives you the committee rules. And if you just look at rules 10 and 13, which are on the reverse side, those are the ones that you really need to be familiar with. They tell you what you can do when you have a majority of the appointed members present. I think I probably mentioned this in an earlier orientation for the Natural Resources Subcommittee of the Joint Committee, but a lot of times the microphones in the meeting rooms are sensitive, so you might want to be careful about your side conversations. And we would ask that cell phones and pagers and other electronic devices are kept to a very low level or off, because if they ring and are picked up, it's hard for the committee assistant to hear and get things into the record. We will be preparing a daily agenda for you each day, and if time permits, given all the juggling that we're doing with the different committees now, we will try to get a weekly agenda to you on Friday of each week for the upcoming week. And the likelihood of our not doing that is very slim, so you'll likely see that in your inboxes by Friday of each week. Yesterday I passed out to each of the subcommittee members a list of all the agency budgets that you'll have before you with the assigned LFO analyst. And so if you have any questions about specific budgets, please contact the analyst who has that assignment, and we'd be happy to sit down and talk with you about your questions. In addition to budgets, you may also be handling some substantive legislation and related fee bills. For next week, and this may be changing, but we plan to do a work session on Monday for the Department of Education State School Fund. And again, as we get schedules finalized for next week, we'll get that information to you as soon as possible. So if there are no other questions on the general process, I'll just jump into the program area overview. And I've attached
questions or comments, members, on the process. Let's proceed.
I've attached a handout that all that I think Representative March has seen, because this was part of your orientation process back in, I believe, late January. And this just gives you some background information on the agencies that are within the Natural Resources Program area. And there are 14. And, Madam Chair, I guess I'd stop at this point and ask if you want me to go over this in any detail. I wasn't really planning on doing that, but maybe having the members look at it on their own timeline and getting back to LFO if there are any questions on it. I think it's pretty straightforward.
No, I think this is very straightforward, and I would also urge the members to refer to the LFO analysis of the governor's budget for these agencies. There's very good information about the funding streams coming in and some of the major issues that are arising within the agencies.
So with that, I'll just direct you to the next piece of paper in that packet, and that is a memorandum from me. And in this memo is tried to lay out for you some of the more significant budget and policy issues for the agencies for which I'm the assigned analyst, and that would be the Land Use Board of Appeals, Department of Land Conservation and Development, and the Department of State Lands. I'll just briefly go over these, Madam Chair, if that's all right with you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. With the Land Use Board of Appeals, there's really not too much in their budget. It's mainly continuing the current level of services. They are a fairly lean and mean agency in terms of their level of funding, and so there is a need to maintain their current level of resources at a minimum to make sure that they meet the timelines for issuing their opinions and their publications. In their budget, there is the use of some publications revenue that's available in 0507 to support more of a paralegal position in the next biennium, and that frees up a small amount of general fund. And then the other issue with that budget is it's not known what the effect of Measure 37 may be on that agency's workload.
Representative Marr.
Thank you, and I will look at the LFO analysis, but I was just curious, in many appeals type board, like the Court of Appeals, et cetera, there are filing fees. Do they have filing fees in lieu of?
They do have a filing fee which goes into the general fund, and that is discussed in the LFO analysis.
Thank you.
For the Department of Land Conservation and Development, one of the primary issues is the need for a review of the 30-year-old land use system. And then another very significant issue for this agency is the effect of Measure 37. This is the primary state agency for responding to currently what have been hundreds of compensation claims filed at the state level, and each of these claims have a 180-day statutory deadline to respond. So the agency is quite taxed at this point using their current staffing levels to meet those deadlines. You will see in their budget when we get into that there are packages in there to meet some just general agency infrastructure needs that they've had for a while, and we'll go into more detail about that later. There's possibly some reduced federal revenues for at least one policy package in their budget and their base budget. And then finally, there's some a reduction in funding from ODOT, funding which has supported a mineral aggregate position. And so the position is reduced from 0.83 to 0.58 FTE in the governor's budget. And finally, for the Department of State Lands, those of you on the Natural Resources Subcommittee of Ways and Means heard about the proposed agency reorganization that the director would like to undertake. One of the issues that's out there right now is the transfer of the unclaimed property program to the treasurer's office, and that obviously has a fiscal impact on the agency, removing some of their costs, but creating costs in the treasurer's office. There is a bill out there that would restructure and increase certain fees related to the removal fill program, which at this point is not a self-sustaining program. So common school fund revenues from other sources have to cover the cost of this program at this point. There are a number of policy packages in this budget that either continue or add positions and or expenditure limitation for enhancing revenue to the common school fund and addressing workload. And as you know, the common school fund is one source of funding for K-12. There are two distributions a year to the counties who then distribute those resources to the local school districts. And finally, there are deferred maintenance needs at the state lands building in Salem. So those are some of the major policy and budget issues for this agency. So that completes my brief summary of the agencies for which I'm responsible, and I think I'll turn it over to Paul Siebert now, who will take you through the next memo and possibly sit in for Susie Jordan, who at this time is in another committee.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Look forward to a short and fruitful relationship.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, you have in front of you a memo from myself that starts out with some of the issues for each of the agencies that I am assigned in the natural resource area. As you can see from the list, I'm assigned six different agencies here, most of the larger agencies except for state parks and forestry. I thought I'd start out with a very minor issue, which is the future of the pesticide use reporting system. That issue.
I'll let the humor here.
That is a system that was authorized in 1999 and has been an ongoing conversation. Funding is included to complete and implement the system in the governor's recommended budget. The second item is there is a revenue shortfall in the food safety program. This is due in part because of some fund shifts that occurred during special sessions and last session that replaced general fund in the program with fee revenue. There is
you might just give a little recap of what this program is, because this is a program that's very important to public safety, public health.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, the Food Safety Program inspects most establishments that deal with any kind of food product, except for restaurants. Restaurants are dealt with by the public health and DHS. All other establishments, such as grocery stores, butcher shops, bakeries, those are all
meat processing.
Meat processing, food dairies. Processing plants, dairy farms, essentially any. Except for the extreme end use, which is restaurants, they do the inspections for, including inspections of, for example, your local gas station that has a heat lamp and has little food stuffs in there. They also inspect those areas as well.
We will get into a lot of discussion around this. It's I think probably the most pressing issue in my eye within the department's budget.
Third, we have the threat of animal and plant disease outbreaks. You probably heard of the of not only the mad cow BSE outbreak during this last interim, but also the ongoing issue with sudden oak death. Another item is the continued global competition for agricultural products. The governor's budget included enhancement for the department's agriculture development and marketing program to work with certification and specialized certification of agricultural products to make them more saleable in the world market. And finally, I included a piece about implementing the agriculture water quality plans. These plans were have been ongoing in development for a number of biennia and were completed last biennia, and the department is now in the process of moving into implementing those agriculture water quality plans.
Questions or comments on the Department of Ag? Let's go ahead and do DEQ.
In the Department of Environmental Quality, the department is under a court order, or actually it's an agreement with the court, to complete TMDLs by the year 2010. As the state provides a significant portion of the funding to complete TMDLs, it's always an issue in the department's budget. Currently, they are on schedule to meet the court order or court agreements, but it will be a tight fit, let's say. Secondly, there's an increase in general fund support for laboratory rent in the department. The Department of Environmental Quality has an environmental laboratory that they share with the Public Health Laboratory in DHS. They share it right now at Portland State University. It's a converted parking garage that's been used as a lab for over 20 years now. Not only does Portland State want them out of the building, but it's grossly inadequate now for their needs. They've purchased a building in Hillsboro, and during the last interim that was authorized, they're in the process of retrofitting that building to use as a new laboratory. So there's a package for increased rent this biennium. That increase only covers the last 6 months of the biennium. They're anticipating moving in about December of 2006. So there will be some significant roll-up in the next biennium to deal with the rent increase. There's also a package in the governor's recommended budget to deal with the wastewater permitting program. That program has had a long history of backlogs. of permits that
are the largest backlog in the country, actually.
Madam Chair, that's correct. Number one in backlogs in the country. We may have just moved off of the very bottom list in the department's latest effort, but we are certainly either 49th or 50th. And there is a package that there was a lot of work during the interim with the department and all the stakeholders on trying to put a package together that addressed the issues in the wastewater permitting program. There's some additional general fund support. There's also an agreement for some fee increases for the permittees that have agreed to, and some radical changes in the program and the way the program's operated, including moving towards a watershed basis for approving and issuing permits in the wastewater program. The governor's recommended budget makes about $1 million in reductions in the air quality program in general fund, in part to fund some of these other initiatives that we've been talking about, where the governor made some investments. In the past biennium water quality program has seen a number of reductions, and this time it is air quality division's turn for general fund reductions. And lastly, their department worked on restructuring their debt service. They have a couple of programs. One is an orphan sign cleanup program that there are outstanding debt on. Previously, the state routinely issued bonds.
We should talk about what orphan sites are, too, just so they think we're not in the homeless housing.
Orphan sites are industrial sites with primarily industrial sites with pollution that the actual owner of the site is either unable or unwilling to do the cleanup work. Oftentimes, you might consider them abandoned. For example, there are abandoned mine sites in the Willamette that have been identified that need to be cleaned up. In the past, the state has issued bonds for that cleanup work. Because of the scarcity of general fund resource, the state has not issued bonds for a couple biennia. There is no there's no bond issuance in the governor's recommended budget either, but there is still debt service outstanding on the bonds that have previously been issued. There is also a clean water state revolving fund that the federal government provides a very large share of the money for, that we have previously issued general fund bonds to make the state match. The match portion now has been met as of last biennium with repayment interest from the revolving loan itself, so there's no longer general fund in that, no longer general fund bonds being issued, if for example, in the governor's recommended budget, but again, there are still some bonds and debt outstanding, and the department did a lot of work in the interim to restructure their bond program to create savings because of the favorable interest rates. And in fact, there's another option for some one-time additional debt service savings that's been included in the House budget plan.
Questions on DEQ? Let's forge ahead.
Department of Fish and Wildlife, there's a couple of issues here. Number one that I have down, at least, in no particular order of importance, is the proceeds from the sale of the Portland headquarters building. A few biennia ago, the department was directed to move their headquarters from Portland down to Salem. They owned the headquarters in Portland, and as part of the bill that required them to move, there was a stipulation that any proceeds remaining from the sale in excess of the cost of moving would be put into the general fund. After the bill was passed and recently looking through some issues with some federal dollars, there is a significant risk to the state receiving federal funds to the tune of $25 million or so in federal funds that the federal government prohibits the use of or the transfer of license and hunter fees into the general fund. If you transfer that money into the general fund, you put your dollars at risk, and this is a statute that goes back to, I believe, 1937, when the federal government first started this program. They put in this clause about backfilling depositing general fund fees from hunting and angling licenses in the general fund. So we have to, there's a bill to fix that. It's about $1 million or so in extra proceeds that you'll probably be, this committee will probably be deciding or dealing with that bill at some point in the future. Secondly, there's the implementation of the wolf plan and compensation for wolf damage. The department's done a lot of work for the last, I believe, couple interim on how to deal with wolves coming to Oregon. I believe this legislation is still pending in House committee, but if it passes, there is a component for compensating landowners for wolf damage. Thirdly, I put in one of the primary, well, the primary source of revenue for the department is, again, the revenue from the sale of hunting and fishing licenses. There is a continued declining percentage of Oregonians buying hunting and fishing licenses. This has led to, while a fairly stable number of licenses being sold, the percentage of population buying them is declining. It's caused a number of fee increases, and over the last few biennia, as you see in some of these other budgets, the state, during scarcity of general fund, has shifted support of department programs from general fund onto other fund hunting and angling license revenue, which puts additional pressure on the fees and the need for future fee increases. The department has a number of deferred maintenance needs that have not been addressed. I believe they're putting together a plan now to deal with some of these needs. I thought I'd just put it on your radar screen. And finally, there's some interest in working in the Diamond Lake trout fishery restoration and restoration of a fishery in Diamond Lake. This has been an ongoing program. Money was included in their budget last biennium for this project and the biennium before that, and you have, I believe, the resident expert on Diamond Lake as the chair of the committee. So if there are additional questions about that, I'd defer.
Any questions or comments on the Fish and Wildlife budget? You have a dangerous senior representative?
No, not today.
Okay.
The Department of Geology and Mineral Industries is a rather small agency dealing with primarily geologic hazards and survey information on one side. On the other side, they regulate the mined land reclamation, and there are just a few issues with them. Again, with constrained state support, we've increasingly shifted the reliance of their programs onto other funds and federal funds from grants. There's been a lot of work in the interim on seismic hazard evaluations. As you know, Measure 15 and 16 passed a few interim ago that allow for the sale of general obligation bonds to retrofit buildings for seismic rehabilitation. There's been a lot of work on the Senate side on this issue. And in the Mine Land Reclamation Regulation Program, there is currently a funding shortfall. The department's working with industry on a proposal to restructure the way they charge their fees that will hopefully allow stability in the program, some fairness in the fee structure, and the ability to add some months to a position that they've had to hold vacant because of a loss of revenue.
Questions or comments on geology or mineral industries? Let's move ahead.
Department of Water Resources. There are a few issues in this area. One of the biggest is the legal costs of the continuing water rights adjudication, primarily the Klamath adjudication. The governor's recommended budget added over $600,000 general fund to deal with these legal costs. The department assures us that this adjudication is in the end game, that they are moving towards the completion of the adjudication. It's been a long, involved process. And when this one is done, there are other adjudications ahead, but hopefully none as complex as the Klamath adjudication. You have also, there's, of course, with the drought concerns, of course, on a day like this, talk about drought is seems a little silly, but there's still some drought, especially in eastern Oregon. There's a lot of issues, and there is always going to be a continuing problem with water supply availability versus the increasing demands. The Department of Water Resources is unique in water in the Natural Resource Agency because about 75% of their budget is general fund. They have by far the most general fund support as far as a percentage than any other budget in natural resources area. And that puts them oftentimes in the targets, of reductions because they have so much reliance on general fund. There are a number of reductions in the governor's recommended budget that were made in order to support the investment in the Klamath adjudication. And so I'm sure you will be hearing a little bit more about the reductions in the, not only the field staff, but also in the technical services and the administration and other areas of the department. The department last biennium got authority for, we call it receipts authority, it's called reimbursement authority. What it is in essence is it sets up kind of a dual system for getting some water right permits and transfer permits, in which if you are willing to pay a little bit extra, the department has a list of contractors that can do the work that they, the department oversees, has trained these people, and you can get out of the regular line for getting consideration of your permit and pay to have someone else move that process forward a little bit faster than normal. This was sunsetted last biennium because of general concerns with this kind of authority of fairness and wanting to make sure that the program works accordingly. The department has a bill in right now that would extend that sunset, and so a package also to allow a position to kind of oversee the functioning of that program. They reported it's a very popular program. We'd like it to continue. And then finally, there is the department had a long problem with water right backlogs for water right applications. They've addressed that, but now they're seeing a big demand in water right transfer requests. As the water gets appropriated and there's less new water or ability to issue new water rights, there's more emphasis on transferring water rights. So there is a backlog now. The department has a position, I believe, that's a fee-funded position to help address that. And so that's a package that you will be considering as well.
Questions or comments on water resources?
The Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board is the last of the agencies that I do. Couple issues here. The Pacific Coastal Salmon Recovery Fund monies are a program that the federal government started, I believe, in 2000 to provide states monies to deal with costs from the federal listing of salmon is in Oregon and the western states. The governor's budget proposes to use a little over $10 million of that to support Oregon plan activities in state agencies. This is a continuation of a practice that the legislature implemented in during the special sessions to make general fund available, and also last biennium. So that is something that the committee will be considering again this biennium. They have a number of packages in their budget for either adding or continuing some positions in the grant program, and for grant program management, federal reporting requirements, a public relations piece, and then some positions that would help with processing grants. The Watershed Enhancement Board was directed a couple biennia ago to implement a new Watershed Council funding formula. Previously, the board divided up the money evenly among all watershed councils. It was the instruction of the legislature that they develop a formula that looks at the results that are achieved by each watershed council, so that those proving themselves, let's say, I guess, more worthy or able to meet their work plans would have first priority in funding that the state provides. The state provides $2.4 million in Measure 66 lottery funds for base support, and then have historically provided another $1.7 million in supplemental funding for a total of $4.1 million in total funding. And maybe I should back up a little bit to talk about Measure 66 lottery funds. There was a Measure 66 was passed, I believe 1998, that directed that 15% of all lottery proceeds go to parks and natural resources. So it's split right in half. 7.5% go to state parks, and the Parks Department receives all those monies. The other 7.5% goes to OWEB, and it's directed primarily for salmon restoration, watershed enhancement, water quality projects. And to make it even a little bit more complicated, that 7.5% is then divided up into between 35% for operations monies and 65% for capital. And the 65% for capital is a requirement that those dollars be spent on the ground type projects. Very specific, not much flexibility in what you can do with those dollars. They have to be in specific projects that improve water quality, watershed enhancement, habitat, and salmon restoration. And then 35. Yes, and wildlife. And the 35% is a little bit more fungible and can support kind of regular operations, rent, those kinds of normal costs that you would think. And that's the money that's used to support the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board positions. They're funded out of Measure 66 lottery funds from the 35% that goes for operations. The board is looking at making some changes in the way they award grants. Very interested in using a more strategic vision for their grant awards. And I believe that they're also trying to implement some things to ensure that the projects that are funded are the highest and best use of the dollars. They're looking at establishing best practices, looking at kinds of projects that give the best return for the investment, and then moving towards prioritizing those when they consider grants. And finally, the addition of $9 million of Measure 66 lottery funds from the introduction of the slot machine type gaming or line games. The governor's budget included the revenue, the $9 million in revenue, in the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board, but they didn't have time at the end to include any limitation. So there's no limitation to expend that $9 million, and that will be one of the issues that this subcommittee will be considering as you look at different natural resource budgets.
Questions or comments? Representative Jensen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The $9 million dedicated lottery funds from line games, this is then an increase of $18 million for measure 66 money for line games?
Yeah, so the other half of it goes into the parks department.
The line game
machine.
For some.
The line games are projected. They're projected to generate $120 million. So that the 15% would be $18 million, split in half, $9 million for parks, $9 million for OWEB.
That's what I just figured, $120 million. So. Okay. Ask a question, Madam Chair.
Any more comments on questions on OWEB? Let's go ahead and do Susie's things.
Madam Chair, I would ask that you kind of look through Susie's, and if you see some issues, I can certainly relay any questions you have. She provided a number of areas for you to consider. Again, a great resource would be the LFO analysis of the governor's recommended budget. But if you have any questions, I'd certainly be able to attempt to answer.
I think that she's done a pretty good job here of just listing things, and there's a lot of detail to it. So perhaps the members could just go through this, and if there are issues that you'd like to discuss, we could take them up at the next meeting. We are going to be having a meeting again tomorrow afternoon at the same time and in the same room, and doing much the same overview as this, but in the education policy arena. So taking a kind of a 50,000 foot view look at the issues that have been brought forward in the education subcommittee meetings relating to those budgets. Representative March.
I note in Ms. Jordan's analysis of parks and recreation, she's showing an anticipation of $11 million in lottery revenue as a result of line gain. And we're looking at $9 million here, so is there's some slop in that estimate currently? Is that?
Madam Chair, Representative Bartz, I believe what's likely is that there is some additional revenue left over from this biennium that was not appropriated by the legislature last session. The same hold true for OWEB and for the other side of Measure 66. What happened was, you know, we set the budget based on a close of session forecast for lottery, and the lottery forecast kept going up during the interim, and no additional limitation was provided, at least in OWEB. So there's some money that's kind of carryover from.
So there'll be about $2 million carried over in OWEB as well.
And I think that's probably about right for OWEB, yeah.
Well, and there's also an issue in OWEB that relates to the way that the governor's budget was done, where we need to change the expenditure limitation, basically, the issue that you brought forward.
Thank you.
So we will let you become very familiar with these issues as things progress. Any other questions here in the short term on Ms. Jordan's agencies? Okay. What we'll do then is adjourn this meeting and reconvene at 3:30 tomorrow and do the overview of the education budgets and bring forward any questions that you have on the material that was presented today. We'll try to deal with those questions. See you tomorrow.
Education.